It's been a rocky start for the new Taoiseach. This past week saw open dissent by Fianna Fáil TDs who were passed over for promotion by Micheál Martin. The Fianna Fáil leader was accused of insulting veteran party stalwarts and of ignoring the West of Ireland. So what does it mean for Fianna Fáil, and how do the grassroots members of the party from west of the Shannon feel about the actions of the new Taoiseach? I've been speaking to Fianna Fáil councillors representing the West of Ireland to find out.
I move that Dáil Éireann approve the nomination by the Taoiseach of the following deputies for appointment by the President to be members of the government.
His first act as Taoiseach has resulted in controversy.
The new government chief whip, Dara Cailleary, has admitted that he was angry and disappointed at not being given a senior ministerial position by Taoiseach Micheál Martin.
This is the first time in the history of the state that there hasn't been a cabinet where there's somebody from the West of Ireland with an actual vote.
It is notable then that you have such a huge span of ground, I suppose, going from Donegal all the way down to Clare and then over the Midwest and down to the southeast again, where you don't have a senior minister, one with a vote at cabinet.
During the week, some TDs passed over for promotion took to their local media to openly vent their unhappiness with the new Taoiseach. Here's Michael Moynihan speaking to C103 and Dara Cailleary on Midwest Radio.
He got it both battles.
Did he apologise?
We had a very fraught discussion.
We had a very difficult conversation, and I did. I told him I was disappointed. I had hoped to lead a department.
Other TDs passed over for promotion by Micheál Martin said they and their constituents were insulted by the new Taoiseach. But what about grassroots members of Fianna Fáil, the foot soldiers of destiny, who work on the ground for the party? Are they willing to continue to support a leader who failed to appoint a single senior cabinet minister to the West of Ireland?
To me, it's simply a matter that Micheál Martin's on trial now.
Micheál Martin is on trial, says Donegal Fianna Fáil councillor Patrick McGowan, who is disappointed that no senior cabinet minister was appointed to the North West. The party leader and Taoiseach, he says, must now prove that the other ministers will not forget about rural Ireland.
You know, some people say he's coming to the end of his tenure, that he's got an Taoiseach, and that, you know, like all Fianna Fáil leaders have been a Taoiseach at some time. But, you know, we're beholden Micheál Martin. Micheál Martin has put himself forward and always been seen being that bit different, that he's his own man, that he has selected his cat, that he's front bench based on merit and what he sees and what he needs to do. It's not about personalities or who his friends with in the past or who served with him. And he's picking these people. That's his best team. But we want to ensure that he has oversight on his team and his Taoiseach, that he has oversight on the other ministers, that they deliver to the whole country, all 26 counties, so we'll get its fair share.
But this week has seen open criticism of Micheál Martin for the choices he's made, dissent within the ranks of his own party. And Roscommon Fianna Fáil councillor Orla Layden says that type of robust criticism will continue.
For us to go into a coalition after 4 years of confidence and supply and to have everybody just saying yes and nobody questioning, we require the questioning voice to continue. I think it's healthy, and it'll ensure that the government is held to account by the Fianna Fáil members as much as everyone else.
Over in Mayo, Fianna Fáil members are bruised by the failure of the party leader to appoint Deputy Leader Dara Cailleary to a senior cabinet post.
We always feel in the West of Ireland that we're being neglected and not given enough of a shout from Dublin. So when we saw this was another slap in the face to the people of the West of Ireland.
That's Mayo Fianna Fáil councillor Michael Loftus, who, while disappointed, accepts Micheál Martin's explanation for why he appointed Dara Cailleary as chief whip.
I can see where he's coming from, that he needed somebody of the calibre of Dara Cailleary to negotiate with the other two parties to get things done. But still, it was hurtful to us in the West when we didn't see a minister coming out.
Across the county bounds in Galway, Connemara-based Fianna Fáil councillor Seamus Welch says he believes Micheál Martin rewarded loyalty with his cabinet picks.
My opinion would be that Micheál Martin wanted to be Taoiseach, and
began the process by becoming leader of the party. And I suppose the people that were loyal to him in getting that far, I'm sure they were rewarded now and kept in line now as well, as in kept sweet for that's politics. That's what happens. That's my view on it. That the factions, I've said it a few times to you there now, that the factions within Fianna Fáil were catered for.
But Councillor Welch is concerned that the Minister for the Gaeltacht is not from the west of Ireland. That position was given to Dublin-based Green Party TD Catherine Martin.
It's a source of dismay to see the Gaeltacht being treated so badly. I don't know the new minister, but she definitely wouldn't have the knowledge and experience and depth that we would have here, any of the people in the West. And even if that went to Sean Kine, who is a senator who could be appointed as a minister, who worked, I'm a Fianna Fáil councillor, but Eamon O'Queeve had served as senior minister in that area before, extremely experienced. I'm not plugging for him now, right? But definitely it's frustrating for the people of Connemara, and I know it from, I'm here all day long, every day taking phone calls, and people are dismayed with that.
Dismay and concern being directed at the Taoiseach by Fianna Fáil grassroots members in County Clare too, this time over the decision to downgrade the Department of Rural and Community Development by tacking it on to the Department of Social Protection.
That's kind of saying, on one hand, we're putting you in there with the social welfare recipients. I'd have a huge problem with how that's viewed and how it's so important. If we're talking about regional balanced development, how do we reconcile that with demoting? We had a full minister for rural affairs.
That was Clare County Councillor Killian Murphy. The concerns of Fianna Fáil grassroots members in the west of Ireland could be summed up simply as an accusation that the new government, led by Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin, has forgotten about the West. But Limerick Fianna Fáil councillor Francis Foley says criticism about cabinet appointments has to be viewed in the context of the number of seats available.
Well, I suppose, look, being honest about it, we have been in opposition for a long number of years, and I suppose there was expectations with a lot of people. But as I said, when we have to split up between three parties, the numbers weren't just there. But like as I say, we have to focus now what we have, and we have to try and get on with the job of what we've been tasked to do.
That was Limerick Councillor Francis Foley ending that report. We can talk now to the Public Expenditure and Reform Minister, Michael McGrath, who is in our Cork studio. Minister, good afternoon and thanks for joining us on the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin.
And we'll talk to you about the road ahead and about your own responsibilities as a minister shortly. But first, just given what you've heard there from Fianna Fáil members up and down the west of Ireland, do you accept that many of them think that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has shown poor judgment in his first days in office and that he is now, as one of them said, they're a leader on trial?
The Taoiseach had some incredibly difficult choices to make in selecting his ministerial team, as indeed did the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and indeed Minister Eamon Ryan as well in selecting their team. I mean, the truth of the matter is that, you know, there is lots of talent within the respective political parties. It is perfectly understandable and natural that people will be very disappointed. There simply were not enough places to go around. But the truth is that everyone serving within our parliamentary party will have a hugely important role to play in driving the implementation of policy of this new government. And I am very conscious as well, Justin, of the backdrop to this discussion. The reality is that, you know, in recent months, in the space of a short number of weeks, about 600,000 people lost their jobs in such a short period of time. We've had over 1,700 people tragically have lost their life to COVID-19. We have unemployment of over 22% and a deficit perhaps of up to 30 billion euro. So I think most people outside of the confines of political parties are most interested in those issues. And all I would ask is our party members and indeed the general public to measure the performance of this government in relation to the delivery on those issues. And that will be our singular focus.
And let's talk about those issues now, because there is a stimulus package being planned by yourself and Minister Pascal Donoghue for later this month. The focus will be on jobs and job creation, we're told. Will it involve the extending the temporary wage subsidy scheme to apply to new workers so that businesses can take on new people, as is being reported in the papers today?
So the wage subsidy scheme has played a hugely important role so far in supporting and maintaining employment, and the focus of the initiative that we hope to unveil in the next 2 weeks or so will be very much to help create jobs and also to protect the employment that we have already. At the moment, the wage subsidy scheme supports over 400,000 workers. The cost so far has been close to 2 billion euro, but of course the cost of not continuing it would also be very great, because it would inevitably have a significant impact on the level of unemployment. So what Minister Donoghue and I very much agree on is that the scheme cannot come to an abrupt end at the end of August, and we are now in discussions with our government colleagues as to the future of the scheme. We want to give as much certainty as possible to employers so that they can plan for the future. We are looking at the possibility of certain design changes to the wage subsidy scheme as well. The fact that we now have a government up in place and an Oireachtas that can function and pass legislation, there are options open to the new government that weren't there for the last government. So all of those issues are very much to the fore at the moment. It's being actively considered. But the wage subsidy scheme will not be coming to an abrupt end at the end of August.
It won't be coming to an abrupt end, but will the state's contribution have to be reduced? It is 85% of salary, as you say, for more than 400,000 workers at the moment. Will you be reducing the percentage that the state contributes and asking employers to pay more?
So I'm not in a position at this point to confirm any changes, because those simply have not been decided upon. We are in active discussions at this time on these very issues, and we will be meeting again tomorrow. The Cabinet Committee on Economic Recovery will be meeting later this week as well. And so our job, Minister Donoghue and I, and indeed the Taoiseach's department, will be to bring forward the options, to bring forward recommendations to the Cabinet Committee, and then the Cabinet will make the final decisions. So the wage subsidy scheme won't be there forever. I think people acknowledge that. It is a costly scheme, but there are costs to not continuing it as well. And I think this would be not the appropriate time to end the scheme. So it will be continued. The precise nature of that, the possibility of changes to the scheme, and the exact amount of the state contribution, those issues have yet to be decided, but will be decided now very, very quickly, along with all the other issues that may feature in the July package, which I'm sure we want to touch on.
What about the pandemic unemployment payment? That's the payment of 350 euros a week. How long do you intend to keep paying that payment at that level?
So the decision of the previous government was that it would remain in place up to the 10th of August. And as you know, there was a change confirmed whereby people earning less than 200 euro would transition to a rate of 203 euro instead of 350 euro. That will come into effect this week for those people. At the moment, just under 440,000 people are receiving a payment under the pandemic unemployment payment. We recognise the really important role it has played in supporting households and individuals. It has been an invaluable lifeline. Again, it will not remain in place forever. There are people who unfortunately lost their job before COVID-19 arrived to Ireland, and those people are on an unemployment rate of 203 euro. So there are issues there.
Are you looking at winding that down maybe by the end of August then?
No such decision has been made. The intention would be that over the next couple of weeks, again, to provide certainty on that issue. We recognise the importance of that income support for individuals and for families. And again, I think the determination would be not to do anything sudden, to take account of the dependence that people have on that, but also to recognise that there may well be issues in relation to the labour market. And there are fairness issues as well that I touched on for people who lost their job in early March and who are on a much lower rate of payment. So we need to take all of those issues into account and support people in whatever way we can.
How much will this stimulus package that you're going to announce in the coming weeks, how much will it cost?
So we haven't made a final decision yet as to the overall scope of the July initiative, but it will be very significant in scale, because it will need to match the scale of the challenge that is before us. It will be the first major economic initiative by this government. It won't be the last. We will have a national economic plan in the autumn, and we will have a budget as well at that time. But we recognise that there is a need to set out a degree of certainty for businesses and workers on issues issues such as commercial rates, because the waiver that was put in place by the last government has now expired. The business restart grant has played an important role. About 140 million or so has been approved so far. We are examining whether more can be done in relation to grant supports, because we recognise that there is a limited appetite to take on additional debt. But having said that, working capital schemes can play an important role for many employers. So we will be bringing forward the legislation for the credit guarantee scheme, which has previously been announced. But again, we're looking at the detail of that scheme to see if we can make it even more attractive so that more businesses will decide to go with it. And of course, you have the warehousing of tax liabilities as well, needs to be put on a statutory footing. And then across the full area of taxation, we're examining what possible role that might play in the context of it as well.
IBEC wants the revenue commissioners to write off tax that's owed by struggling small businesses. Will there be any help in that line in the stimulus package for those businesses?
So at the moment, the commitment that's in place, as you know, for small and medium-sized enterprises is that they can park their tax liabilities without any penalty being imposed by way of additional interest charges or indeed penalties. I think that is a really important support for those businesses, and we're looking at the nature of that scheme at the moment. There will be legislation required to put that on a statutory footing. So I can't confirm any specific changes in relation to taxation, but those issues are on the table, are being discussed, but the July initiative will not be the final initiative by this government. There will be a budget in October, and there will be a finance bill as part of that. So we need to decide what we want to do now, what will make the most impact in relation to supporting employers, helping them to bring people back to work, and ensuring that we can reduce progressively the number of people who are relying on the state for their income, and to try and support enterprises in the efforts that they have. And of course, alongside this, you know, the issue of the virus, its progression, the huge efforts that people have made in containing that, there's a very direct link between COVID-19 and how that evolves in Ireland over the months ahead, and of course our economic response, because it is so important that people have confidence to spend in our economy. Sentiment is critically important. We've seen a huge uplift in the level of private savings over the last number of months, and I think the best way to engender confidence is if we can deal comprehensively with the health challenge first and foremost.
And I'm sure you would like people to spend their money at home, but can you clarify what is going to happen in relation to the proposed green list of countries to which it is supposed to be safe to travel? Will that list be published next week, or is it going to be pushed on out for a number of weeks now, given that there have been outbreaks of the virus in other countries?
So that very issue is going to be decided on by Cabinet tomorrow. There was a Cabinet committee, COVID-19 committee meeting on Friday, and I participated in that meeting, and a view was arrived at there, broadly speaking, but the decision will have to be made by the full Cabinet tomorrow. And I think it is fair to say that by and large, we do want to encourage people to holiday at home, to spend their money in Ireland. I think that would be a great boost to hotels and B&B operators and other tourist facility operators around the country. You know, we are seeing, unfortunately, some regression in relation to the virus in different parts of the world. But of course, it's not uniform. There are different issues arising in different parts of the world. But there will be clarity brought to that issue.
But is there any other option that the government can take other than following the advice of the chief medical officer, who says not to travel?
Well, the government will make the final decision, but as has been the case up to now, government will take into account, of course, the public health advice from the public health authorities. I think they have served us very well, and they want to join with many others in paying tribute to Dr. Tony Holohan and the selfless dedication that he has shown at a time of great challenge in his own personal and family life at this time. So we will very much take into account the advice that is there. But I see the health and the economic issues as being inextricably linked. We don't want to see the number of cases in Ireland start to drift up again, because we really want to get our schools back open and fully functioning in late August, September, get our childcare facilities back into place. And I think all of that will help greatly to instill confidence in our economy. And I think that is an essential ingredient in fixing the economy as we go forward.
While we're on the subject of travel, can I ask you about a report in the Sunday Times today that says your party colleague, the MEP, Billy Kelleher attended the election of Micheál Martin in Dublin last weekend without self-isolating for 14 days on his return from Brussels. Are elected representatives exempt from those rules?
No, they are not. Elected representatives are essential workers and have been from the beginning, but the requirements and the guidelines indeed in relation to self-isolation, having returned from abroad, apply to everybody. I haven't had an opportunity to talk to MEP Billy Kelleher on that issue. Well, I read the article.
Neither have we, because he's not commenting on the matter today. But what do you make of what you've read today?
Well, all that I can do is just reaffirm that the guidelines apply to everybody, apart from a very small number of exceptions. And I think those are listed in the article. And I think Billy has said in the article that he has been tested and so on like that. But that doesn't take away from the point that the guidelines, and they are guidelines as opposed to legally binding rules, but they do apply to everyone. And that also applies to elected public representatives. And I think, you know, there is an onus on all of us, of course, to lead from the front on that issue.
What message does it send out if you have an elected public representative who breaches the rules, the 14-day isolation rules, in that way? I mean, particularly when you think of the event itself where Micheál Martin's own family didn't come up to Dublin to support him. What's your view about the message it sends out when you have an elected representative who does that?
Well, look, I think it's really important that all of us who are in positions of leadership and are elected to office, that we uphold the guidelines that are there. You know, we have all spent a lot of time in informing the public of what we expect of them. And so I think they expect us to do the same. And, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to discuss this with Billy. I'm sure he will comment on it publicly. It did say that he had been tested and so on. But look, the rules do apply to everyone, and that includes public reps.
Indeed. All right. Michael McGrath, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, thank you very much indeed.